Much like Celsus, whom we just met, Plancia Magna used her great wealth to beautify Perge. In AD 121, she paid for the renovation of the city gate and created a vast oval courtyard whose walls were decorated with niches that held statues celebrating the city of Perge. And so, much like we saw already at Ephesus, much of what gets constructed in these Roman cities of the East are ways of celebrating the traditions of these cities. And so even though Perge is part of the Roman Empire, and Plancia Magna herself was a Roman, the city gate that she built celebrated the early origins of Perge, and the niches contain statues of the mythical founders of the city, these men who had fled the Trojan War and founded this great city of Perge. The statues, unfortunately, don't survive, but the statue bases do, and they list these founding fathers of the city. Within this city gate, there were other sculptures that celebrated the history of the city, and these sculptures were images of the family of Plancia Magna. Of course, her family had been important in the city for generations, and so it was only fitting that they be celebrated here too. And again, the statues don't survive, but the bases do. And I think it's interesting that all of them are discussed in terms of Plancius Verus, the father of Plancia Magna. Then is another figure who is the brother of Plancia Magna. So she, as donor, certainly makes sure people know that she gave these statues and also their importance to her. She is the focal point here. In addition to constructing this great gateway, she constructed an honorific arch right at the entrance to the gate. This is a very much a Roman form of building. These arches are found in Italy and usually celebrate a military triumph. But in this case, this arch is there to celebrate the visit that Emperor Hadrian made to Perge in the year 123 AD. The arch is a marble structure with just a gate through it, but it was decorated ornately with sculpture. And I think we're seeing some of Plancia Magna's own taste here. The sculpture celebrates the royal family of Hadrian and his predecessor, Trajan, but the majority of the figures are the women of the family. That Plancia Magna, although of course member of the imperial cult, of course, helps worship the emperor, but perhaps she as a woman preferred to highlight the royal women on this arch. So again, we can see a little bit of perhaps this woman's strong personality. The city of Perge was very grateful to her, and we can see this in a number of ways. Statues of her were erected near the gateway that she'd built, and these statues list the numerous honors and offices and priesthoods that she held. The image of Plancia Magna herself is not that impressive. It's a very generic portrait of a modest woman, carefully draped, with her head slightly down. But when we read about the remarkable things that she did, we have to think that she was quite an extraordinary individual. When she died as an old woman, she was not buried within the city, like Celsus, because that's quite an unusual honor. But she was buried as close to the city as possible. Her tomb has been discovered just next to the wall of the city of Perge, almost inside the city, just on the edge. A tomb that was a great honor for this woman that helped maintain the greatness of the city of Perge. Benefactors like Celsus and Plancia Magna were not unique in the Roman world. In fact, in the 1st and 2nd centuries AD, nearly every city in Anatolia could claim a generous donor, a wealthy citizen who wanted to show his or her greatness through the gifts that they could give to the city. Unfortunately, during the 3rd century AD, a series of crises were felt throughout the Roman Empire, and these placed the very survival of the cities that we've been studying in jeopardy. And one of the sad results of that was a halt to the magnanimity that such individuals as Celsus and Plancia Magna had made. So our next and last lecture will focus on a very trying time for Anatolia, a time where the region was nearly destroyed through civil war and invasion, but this crisis brought to life a new phase for Anatolia that will perhaps be one of the greatest times for this region.
This ends Lecture 13.